First, let's read our text from Matthew 26, the institution of the Lord's Supper, in Matthew chapter 26. As you might be able to tell when we look at the catechism, the sacraments were a significantly important issue during the time of the Reformation, and understanding the place and purpose of the sacraments. So today we are returning to the Lord's Supper, even though we looked at it last week already. We're going to continue to look at the presence of Jesus Christ at the supper. So let's start with, first of all, reading from Matthew 26, starting at verse 26. That's page 989. Matthew 26 at verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And that's as far as reading from Matthew 26. Then let's turn in the back of our songbooks to Lord's Day 29. Lord's Day 29. And that's found on page 885. Lord's Day 29. And we'll start a reading of question and answer 78. As we normally do here, we'll read the answers together. So let's read our question and answers responsively. Starting with question and answer 78. Do the bread and wine become the real body and blood of Christ? No. Just as the water of baptism is not changed into Christ's blood and does not itself wash away sins, but is simply a divine sign and assurance of these things, so too the holy bread of the Lord's Supper does not become the body of Christ itself, even though it is called the body of Christ in keeping with the nature and language of sacraments. And then question 79, why then does Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood? And Paul used the words, a participation in Christ's body and blood. Christ has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that just as bread and wine nourish the temporal life, so too his crucified body and poured out blood are the true food and drink of our souls for eternal life. But more important, he wants to assure us by this visible sign and pledge that we, through the Holy Spirit's work, share in his true body and blood as surely as our mouths receive these holy signs in his remembrance, and that all of his suffering and obedience are as definitely ours as if we personally had suffered and made sacrifice for all our sins. As far as reading in the Catechism, we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, signs and the use of signs are a normal, common part of our daily experience. When we're driving down the road, we see a sign telling us how fast we are to go, where we are to turn. When we enter into a building, we see a sign that says, "Do not enter," or "Main entrance here." Signs give us direction. And if you ignore the signs, you might face your own peril. If the sign says push and you continue to pull, you will never get access into the building in which you desire. In a similar way, the Lord's Supper is designed to be a sign that is to be read and responded to properly. It takes wisdom and discernment to understand and gain access to rightly benefit from the use of that sign. So today, as we return to the Lord's Supper in the Catechism, we find that this meal is given to us as a symbol of a sacred truth. But as a symbol, as a sign, it must be read, it must be interpreted, it must be understood properly in order to enjoy the benefit of it. In other words, if you don't understand what the sign is doing, you won't benefit from it. So we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ reveals his presence for our blessing at the Lord's Supper. The main issue we are dealing with is this. Is Jesus Christ present in the Lord's Supper? So our theme is Jesus Christ reveals his presence for our blessing at the Lord's Supper. At our first point, then, we consider the nature of the sign in the Lord's Supper. If the sacrament is meant to be seen, if it is a visible sign and seal, what is the purpose and what is the limitation on that particular sign? At issue is this. We read earlier from Matthew 26, and Jesus says in Matthew 26, 26, "Take and eat, for this is my body." And again in verse 28, "Drink of it," drink of this wine, "all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant." So if Jesus says that this bread is my body and this wine is my blood, how are we to interpret that? How are we to understand that? What did the disciples think of this? How did the disciples understand this? Well, the disciples understood that when Jesus was speaking, they understood the purpose of that statement, that Jesus was using a sacramental picture. Jesus here stated in Matthew 26 that the bread was his body and the wine was his blood. But did the disciples think that this bread had somehow been turned into the body of Jesus? Remember, this is taking place before the cross, before Jesus Christ offered his body and blood to be broken and shed. So the disciples understood that this was not the literal, physical eating and drinking of Jesus. And no one believed or thought that Jesus was eating or drinking his own body and blood. That is not what the disciples understood. That was not the direction that they were going. No, the bread and the wine remained just that for the disciples and for Jesus himself. They remained bread and wine. As an aside, historically, in the Roman Empire, they accused Christians of being cannibals. That was one of the accusations against the Christian church, is that these people are celebrating, they're eating the body and drinking the blood of Jesus. It was stated that they were eating human flesh at the Lord's Supper, which was a false accusation. Anyone who was a part of the church understood that this was a sacramental sign. So as a church, we have to be clear in our understanding that the Lord's Supper is a picture, it is a sign, it is not the literal or physical eating of Jesus' body and drinking of his blood. That's due to the fact that the sacrament is a sign. Signs do not replace the reality, but rather they point to that reality. For example, when we were driving home from Iowa and we see a sign on the side of Interstate 80, Chicago, 100 miles, you understand that the sign is not replacing Chicago. The sign is not the reality. It is pointing to what is to come. Our question answer 78 clarifies this. If you have your catechism open, question answer 78. The bread and the wine do not become the real or physical body and blood of Jesus. The nature of the sign is this. It's a sign. To remain a picture, the sacrament or celebrating the sacrament does not change or transform the elements into that which they represent. For example, if you were to take out your phone and see on your phone a picture of your family, you know that your family is not contained in your phone. Your family is not somehow bound up inside your literal phone. It is a picture that points to the reality. There is a parallel also given for us in question and answer 78, a parallel between the sign of baptism and the sign of the Lord's Supper. Everyone understands that with baptism, as we saw this morning, the water that is flowing, that is splashed or sprinkled on the head of the child, that water is not being transformed or changed or magically altered into the blood of Jesus Christ. The water remains water. So the parallel between the Lord's Supper and baptism is that both the water of baptism and the wine and bread of the Lord's Supper remain the sign and not the reality. So the bread and wine are not transformed into the body and blood of Jesus. These elements themselves, the wine and the bread, do not feed our souls. So in this way, the Lord's Supper acts like an illustration. It is a living metaphor. Jesus says of himself, "I am true food. My blood is a true drink." Jesus gives us a lot of metaphors or illustrations about his work. He says he's the gate, he's the good shepherd, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. All as a metaphor pointing to something that is deeper. So we need to understand when we look at question answer 78, the first truth that is bringing to us is simply this. Understand the sign as a sign. We need to understand the nature and language of the sacrament in order to receive the benefit or the proper fruit. The payout comes when you understand the nature and purpose of that particular sacrament. That's how question and answer 78 concludes. So if the bread and the wine are not transformed into the body and blood of Jesus, does that mean that Jesus is not present? Is Jesus simply like a benevolent king who is in a far-off country who sends gifts to us in a foreign land? Is Jesus sending us a note from afar? Is the Lord's Supper saying from Jesus, "I wish I could be there, but I can't, so I will simply give you this in my absence"? Is that what Jesus is saying? Is Jesus saying, "I can't be there, so I will give you this bread and the wine as a substitute for my presence"? Some people believe that. But remember what Jesus promised. What did Jesus promise? Matthew 18, verse 20. "Where two or three disciples are gathered in my name, there I am with them." Hebrews 13, verse 5. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Matthew 28, verse 20, before Jesus ascended, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So if Jesus promised that he would never leave, that he would not leave us as orphans, that he would never remove himself from us, that he would abide with us and stay with us, how is he here? How is he present? Which is it? If the bread and the wine are not the physical, literal presence of Jesus Christ, does that mean he is not present? To be clear, Jesus is not now physically present on earth. We saw that many months ago with question and answer 47, talking about the ascension. Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. Where is his humanity? Children, where is Jesus Christ right now? Jesus Christ is physically at the right hand of his Father in glory. His humanity is not present on earth. His humanity is not found in the bread and the wine. But Jesus is not only fully man, he is fully God. And by way of his deity, he is never apart from us. By way of his divine presence, he is never absent. Or we could put it this way, Jesus is spiritually present with us. Now here we have to be very clear. It is a common saying that people make. If you're invited to a party, for example, and you can't go, you say, "Well, I won't be there physically. I can't be there in body, but I'll be there in spirit." That's a common phrase that people make. "I'll be with you in spirit." And what they mean by this is, "I can't be there physically, so I'll be thinking of you." Is that all Jesus is saying? Is he saying, "I'll be there with you in spirit"? Is Jesus simply saying, "I'll be thinking of you, even though I can't be there"? Now, it is true, Jesus is thinking of us. He is praying for us. He's interceding for us. But is that all that he means when he says, "I will be there"? When he says that he will be with us in spirit, it is more than just the fact that he is thinking of us. Because by way of his deity, he is really, truly, spiritually present. So we find this earlier, we read in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, particularly the first four verses, is drawing a parallel between the Israelites passing through the wilderness and the presence of Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites are brought out of bondage, they're traveling through the desert-weary land, they received bread from heaven, that heavenly manna. They received water from the rock. And then Paul says they ate the same spiritual food and ate the same spiritual drink that came from the same spiritual rock. The rock that followed the Israelites through the wilderness is the spiritual presence of Jesus Christ. Then Paul builds upon that, saying that that is how Jesus is present with us even today. All of this is to say Jesus is spiritually present with us. He is present with us when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. To bring this a little bit further, God is spirit. God is, we say, omnipresent. By way of the deity of God, he is present everywhere at all times. There is nowhere you can go that God is not present. That's what the psalmist says, right? If I make my bed in the depths or rise in the wings of the morning, go to the farthest reaches of the ocean, there God is present. God is omnipotent and omnipresent. He's all-powerful and everywhere present. But we receive the added promise of the specific focus and increased measure of his presence when we celebrate the sacraments by faith. So we can rightly say Jesus is really, truly present spiritually. And since this is the case, because Jesus says, I am with you when you participate in the Lord's Supper by faith, that I am really there, that is what makes the Lord's Supper a means of grace. The Lord's Supper is not just a metaphor. It is not just an illustration. It is a sign, yes, but also a seal. The Holy Spirit really does do something when we celebrate the Lord's Supper properly. Question and answer 79 clarifies this for us. The change, there is a real change that takes place in the Lord's Supper, but the change is not in the elements, it is a change in the recipient. So to be very clear, the change is not bread that's turning to body and wine that's turning to blood. It is a change that the Holy Spirit does in God's people. The transformation is not Jesus coming down physically to earth in the flesh, taking the form of bread and wine, but rather it is a heart that is transformed by the Spirit, by the presence of Christ himself, to love Christ more, to see his work more clearly, and to love his people. My life is being transformed so that I look and act more like Jesus. I grow spiritually as a means of grace. There is a real benefit. I'm changed as I partake of this meal with a heart of faith. So we know, we believe, we confess the Holy Spirit is making me more like Christ and weaving us as a church together in this reality. So I really am sharing in Christ's work, partaking of his sacrifice as I am lifted up to glory by the Spirit to eat and drink, to dine with Christ, and even partake of his sacrifice. Well, now that we understand that Christ is really, truly, spiritually present, what remains in our final point then is to understand the proper direction for our worship. There is a direct link, a direct connection between your understanding of the presence of Jesus and the direction of your worship. Where you understand the presence of Jesus is will determine where you direct your praise. If Jesus is literally, physically on earth, found in the elements of the Lord's Supper or in communion or in the Eucharist, then your worship will correspond to this. If you still have your catechism open, you'll find in question and answer 80 a summary of the Roman Catholic teaching called transubstantiation. Basically, the Roman Church teaches that when the priest, very important, words have meaning, right? It's not a pastor, it's a priest. When the priest says the specific words, the elements which are arranged on the altar, right? It's not a table, they have an altar. So they have a priest who has an altar where the bread and wine are mystically, mysteriously transformed, changed into the literal physical body and blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus' body and blood are found on an altar on the earth. Keep this clear. This is the Roman Catholic teaching, okay? The body of Jesus is then broken and his blood again poured out. They see the continuing sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice needs to be repeated or offered daily in order for sins to be forgiven. So let's follow this out. If the bread becomes the literal physical body of Jesus and the wine becomes the literal physical blood of Jesus, why do you think they kneel? Where do they direct their worship? Instead of a table for a supper, they have an altar on which a sacrifice takes place. It is this worship of the elements that is the issue that question and answer 80 takes to heart. That is why the catechism ends very clearly that it says a denial of the one sacrifice, and it's a condemnable idolatry because they are bowing down to elements because they view in their view, this is where Jesus is found. That is why their worship is directed at the element, revering the wine and the bread. You see, wherever you think Jesus is to be found is where you direct your worship. If Jesus is found bound up in the elements, you will worship the elements. But we have to ask ourselves the question, is Jesus literally, physically found in the elements? Is his body in the bread or his blood in the wine? Very briefly, the other extreme view is called memorialism. Following a Zwingli, many present-day Baptist Anabaptists, they do not see Jesus as being present in any way at the Lord's Supper. Denying the Roman Catholic teaching of transubstantiation, these memorialists celebrate the meal only as a remembrance, as a reminder. They commemorate, they remember, but that is it. Jesus is not really present in any way. But are those only two options? Is Jesus literally physically present or not present at all? No. The Lord's Supper is a means of grace. It is a meal where Christ is present with his people spiritually, where we celebrate the one sacrifice of Christ, but the benefits of this one sacrifice continued to be poured out and enjoyed by God's people. Being a means of grace means that we receive grace from Christ our host. So the Reformed, I would say, biblical understanding of the Lord's Supper is that Christ is really, truly, spiritually present. He remains physically in heaven. That is why we direct our worship, our adoration to Christ in glory at the Father's right hand where he remains. We direct our worship to heaven, but we look for his benefits and blessings here on earth. We, by the working of the Holy Spirit, really do expect a consequence to a right participation, which is growing in grace, in peace, in holiness, in joy, in union with God's people. We are being sanctified in the image of Christ. So yes, he remains in glory, so we direct our worship to glory, but his gift, his grace, his spirit are sent to us here on earth, poured out on us, so that we really do take and eat and participate with hearts of faith. To conclude, the Lord's Supper is a sign that points us to a reality. The reality is this: Jesus died once for all for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. And after he died, 3 days later, he rose again and he ascended into heaven. Where is Jesus? He is at his Father's right hand, literally, physically in heaven. The Lord's Supper does not rip Christ from heaven and bring him down, binding him in these elements. Rather, the Lord's Supper is a spiritual communion between Christ and his people where he really feeds us and nourishes us. So when we come, let us direct our hearts to proper worship, motivated by a right understanding, a sign, and a seal. We are to eat true spiritual food, drinking true spiritually drink, being nourished by Christ, by his Spirit, unto eternal life. So when we come together, let us take, eat, remember, and believe that Christ died once for all for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this wonderful reminder of how Christ is indeed present. That he is not absent, he has not left us as orphans, he's given us his Spirit, and he is, by his own Spirit, present. We do pray that we would continue to see the sacraments rightly, to understand their purpose and use, to direct us and our worship to Christ, who is in glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.